Good morning. Yeah, I just have this here. Wonderful to have you here. Sunny day, frosty morning, though, I tell you. I don't think I'm ready for it. Are you ready for it?
No.
Yes and no, as I see. Don's just laughing at me and saying, hey, you fool. You're the one that came to Pennsylvania. What do you expect? Well, Ohio wasn't much warmer. Actually, I think we were a little bit cooler up there, a little bit closer to the Great Lakes there too. So, but wonderful to be with you here today to share the Word of God with you. It's amazing how the timing of it, because this is really family. When we're talking about, you know, a dedication, we're talking about new membership, it's all family related. You know, and here's Peter, you know, starting off in this letter, and he's getting into, you know, teaching us about, you know, hey, you know, you have been chosen by God, and you have been sanctified by God, and you have been cleansed by Christ. You know, and he starts off with that. He says, you've got a great inheritance waiting for you. You know, so you've been born into this new thing, a living hope. You know, even if you have gone through all this type of trials and things like that, don't give up. And then he starts going to these other things, and then he comes into this tough section called submitting. And so, we were already talking about a little bit about that, you know, we were submitting, you know, talk about submitting to authorities, you know, and that's, you know, we talked about how difficult that is for us. You know, it's just against our nature. And then it comes down to, you know, submitting to being good citizens, you know, submitting our lives there and following Christ. And then we see that his example of submitting on the cross, he was willing to suffer with no threats, no retaliation, only forgiveness. And so he's hitting all these different areas, you know, the government, and he's hitting, you know, submitting to your bosses, you know, now your workplace and things like that. And now he's going, there needs to be submission in the family as well, for there to be the harmony in the family. So that's what we're coming into today. And, you know, I know it's kind of tough, and it's interesting that the wives get 6 verses and the husbands only get 7 in this, but you could talk to Peter about that when you meet him in heaven, you know, because God put that upon his heart. But it's really, I believe there's really a reason for that, and we'll discover a little bit more about that. Now, we're going to talk about unfading beauty. You know, I don't know if you know what orchids are. They're these strange flowers that really, they don't need dirt. Okay, if you go to Thailand and stuff, they grow on trees, and, you know, they're just hanging there. Their roots are in the air because they get their moisture from the air, and it's very humid there. And if you look, you know, especially like in the jungles. But we have an orchid. I gave Joy an orchid about maybe 3 years ago for Valentine's Day, and it's still alive. And it's, you know, it's a weird thing. And in a dormant stage, it's not really all that beautiful, okay? It's got these things sticking up, and it's kind of looks like a, you know, something like something blew up, all right? That's what it looks like, all right? So it's nothing special, but there's something inside, right? There's something more. Remember last week, we're transformers, more than more than meets the eye, all right? So you're looking at this going, this plant, why would people even want this in the house and stuff like that? You know, but there's more to it than meets the eye, because there's stuff going on in there. And then when it comes out, you know, when it starts to bloom, then it's one of the most beautiful flowers in the world. And I tell you, this is just a little bit of color. We've been to some orchid farms and stuff like that, and just the colors and the sizes of these orchids just blow you. You're just sitting there going, you know, God, you know, what a variety you have created for us to enjoy. And so, you know, just a little bit about that. And for wives, you know, we think about wives and women at alone, you know, a lot of times we overlook them, you know, but there's more to it. You know, there's more to each person, each woman in this world. You know, there's that unfading beauty just waiting to blossom out, and truly to really to to cause the world to be more beautiful than it ever was before. You know, God made Adam and then Eve, right? He made them both for a reason. You know, to walk in this earth, to have communion with him. And then, of course, man decided that we wanted to be God. So we decided to disobey. And then now we have what we have today. And we look at our family structure. And we've been in other parts of the world, especially Thailand, we've seen a family structure there. It's very strange. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times they send their kids down far away to live with parents down there while they are working all over the world or doing this. You know, they're just, the family unit really isn't together. And then I grew up in a family unit here in the United States, you know, where, you know, the mom and dad and their children are together. But then that has changed over the years, right? Now you have blended families. Now you have a lot of broken families. Now you're kind of afraid to ask who's your mom, you know, who's related to you, and you have to spend at least 3 hours listening to them. Yeah. So what happened? What happened? It's certainly something happened here. So we're going to get into that a little bit more today. Let's pray. Lord God, we come here to encourage one another, but more than that, to spend time before you, to worship you, to hear your voice, to learn how to walk in your paths, and the hope that we can also be a blessing to those around us, because as you have saved us by your grace alone. Lord, we pray that others will receive that great salvation as well, that grace that comes from you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll just open up our hearts and minds and teach us more. Remind us of things that we used to know, and teach us anew things that we need to know, so we can honor you in our daily walk. We just praise you for this time together in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of his people say, amen. So, you know, beauty, what is that saying? Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? So, somebody can look, you know, somebody looks and goes, oh, this is so beautiful, you know, and somebody look at it and go, yuck, what's going on there? So there, you know, and beauty is something, you know, it's pretty much each person, right? I mean, some people like certain colors, you know, other people, you know, those colors aren't theirs, you know, and it's so, you know, so there's a lot of things, a lot of variability with beauty. And you know, the aesthetic sort of things that catch your attention. But it's a very individual thing. And if you go to an art gallery and you look at those paintings, some people are going, wow, that's so wonderful, beautiful. Other people are going, shoot, what is that? Get me out of here. Get me to the cowboy game. That's what I understand. That's beauty. That's beauty. That star in a helmet, admit it. There's something beautiful about that. See, to me, that's beautiful. Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's right. So, but, you know, we don't want to disturb the unity of the family here, so we'll keep going on here. Yeah, so, you know, we'll just keep doing that. So we're looking at this, and so what is the making of a beauty? All right, where is it coming from? Well, first of all, it's the external versus the internal. If you read, you know, in the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your husband so that, you know, we'll keep on going through. We'll come back to that. When they see, your beauty should not come, this is verse 3, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles, the wearing of gold jewelry or clothes, or fine clothes. You know, so, you know, I can tell some of you are probably starting to remove bracelets and rings and things like that. And that's a, you know. But, you know, we're not going to go that far, you know, really. But rather, it should be that of your inner self. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So, you know, God's kingdom is just so different, so opposite of man, right? I mean, how many times have we seen this? You know, when man is ruling and we want to be rulers, we're saying, you do this, you do that, you follow me and all that stuff, but God's going, zip. No, I'm the ruler. When I'm a ruler, leaders serve others. And then when you talk about beauty, you know, the world's going, yeah, you got to have all the, you got to have, you know, all the fashions. I don't know how you women do it, okay? Truly, I don't know. The fads and fashions that are changing all the time, you know. Oh, well, you got to have the high shorts now and the low shorts. And, you know, the guys, we're just sitting there going, huh? You know, we use, I guess, ripped jeans or something like might have been something. You know, Sam remembers those, right? The ripped jeans and things like that. Holes, my brother used to have that. Oh, my brother, one of my brothers, I won't mention his name, but he had a Tom Selleck hairstyle in the 80s. You know, so when he came out of that barber shop and he had a Tom, I was sitting there going, is that Tom Selleck? Because he was tall and he had that mustache. I said, is that Tom Selleck? He's going, no, it's my brother. I go, kick you. Get that guy out. Get that guy out of here, you know? You know, so, you know, we follow the fads. And we want to be looking good, right? We want to attract people and stuff, you know? And so we do all this and that. But thing is, things change all the time. So what was attractive, suspenders and all that stuff, one day, now kind of people are kind of look at it and go, that guy is a freakazoid. Don't get near him. He doesn't even know how to pull up his pants right. Some of these guys are walking with their britches halfway down their rear end. You know, I used to work a lot of those guys. Okay? There's something about that. So all these styles, but all that stuff doesn't mean anything. It fades. It moves. It just changes all the time. So we need stability. So what is real beauty then? What is real beauty? Well, we came upon that. And, you know, just think about that gentleness. You know, I wrote down some things here. In Philippians 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. That gentleness is precious. Okay, because, you know, it's saying, you know, it's just like what we've seen in Christ's life. You know, he was not looking, he was just doing, serving and loving the people and trying to draw them into the kingdom of God. But he did it with such a gentle spirit, even though he was tough on the Pharisees and they needed that. But he's so gentle, so welcoming. And even on the cross, when people were mocking him and spitting, you know, all that stuff at him, he did not say a word to them and any threats. He did not call upon the army of angels to blow them away. You know what he did? He said, forgive them, Lord. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That gentleness. People say, oh, it's weak and so. No. That gentleness is a sold-out life. It is a life saying, I'm going to entrust myself, just like Christ entrusted his life to the Father, I will do the same. And that takes courage. That gentleness takes courage beyond what we are, what we can do on our own. That's Holy Spirit movement. That's gentleness is one of the spirits. One of the fruits of the spirits that we have. So it's very precious. And then the quiet spirit in Zephaniah says, be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. You know, when I think about being quiet, people saying, well, you know, you're just being all, trying to be all nicey-nicey, or maybe you're oppressed and you're afraid to speak out. But really, when you're being quiet in this way, you're spending time before the Lord and abiding in Him. You're building a trust and a confidence that can't ever be shaken, because He is our fortress. He is our rock of salvation. So if there's anything to be quiet for, that is. So you can hear His heart and He can hear your heart in those quiet moments. And that brings strength again. Strength in times of difficult times, of times when uncertainty and all that. And then you look at 2 Corinthians, and it's, you know, I think we all know that when, you know, Paul was having troubles with his health, and God said this to him. He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." See, and people say, well, I have to be weak. I have to, you know, can't stand up on my own. No, it doesn't say that kind of weakness. This type of weakness is total dependency upon the Father. It looks weak, especially to the world's view, right? You know, you're so gentle, you're so quiet, you know, you don't have anything to offer the world, but more than meets the eye, because things are going on and there's going to be some blossoming coming out just, you know, as God guides and directs, and then people just attract attention. And seeing God's power, His glory working through a weak soul, a broken spirit. And we are broken. Each one of us is broken in one way or another. Some of us are broken more than others can even, even think about. But God uses that as we entrust Him, as we hang ourselves on that cross and say, I'm giving my life to You. I'm willing to join You in Your suffering. Because I'm done with myself. I'm done with my own agenda. I'm done with this world and all of its fads and fashions, all of its desires and all that stuff. And I desire You alone. Then His power works through us and is displayed in a humble heart. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Have you noticed all this is, you know, we're understanding who we are before a creator God. This God created the universe. And if you look at those, you know, things that the internet, you know, that web, was it Jack Webb or John Webb or James Webb telescope out there looking at that? They're seeing these pillars of the universe, you know, these things, these gases or whatever it is that's forming. You know, it's just, wow, beautiful pictures and all that stuff. It's just a piece of what God did. And then He made us. He made us. This God who, if you look up at the sky at nighttime, and this is a good time to do it, with the clear air and all that stuff, the stars are uncountable. And that's just to our naked eye, right? There's just so much beyond what God did. And He created you. It's not happenstance. We weren't created out of nothing, and we don't mean anything. We do. Though a lot of us walk in our lives like we have no meaning, because we really haven't done what we're supposed to do here. That beauty, talking about that unfading beauty of having a humble spirit before a holy God, a spirit that's willing to suffer, willing to allow our weaknesses to show up, so then God can powerfully work through us to display who He is in our lives as we rely upon Him, as we depend upon Him, as we live a gentle and quiet life. And that's what these women of old were called to do. And even now, today, And I believe it's also for man, for us to see and remind us. Oh, God's working powerful. I want that too. I want that unfading beauty in my life too. So it's powerful, wonderful. Making of beauty. It just seems so different than, because usually these days, everything, all the colors, you go to the Rose Parade in Southern California there in Pasadena, everything is on display. All the colors, all the flowers, all the creativity. Look at me. How great I am. But God is saying, I desire the opposite. Humble yourselves before me, and I will lift you up and make you even more beautiful than any of those combined. Anything that man can create, God's going to make even more beautiful through his power and his word and what Christ has done for us. Sarah's model. So if you look at this, you know, Sarah's model agency. You know, we all want to be like Sarah, right? All the women should be. You know, this is one of the focus points here. For this is the way, in verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. So first of all, just put their hope in God, right? So put your hope in God. And then they keep on going, like Sarah who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. And so there's hope. There's that entrusting of life in all of that hope. Entrusting God, submitting to a husband. And I tell you something, it wasn't an easy road. If you look at Abraham and Sarah and their life, it was a bumpy road. A lot of uncertainty going on there. Abraham was not that great of a leader. He was bouncing here and there and lying and all this stuff. Dangerous. They could have gotten killed. Abraham, what's wrong with you, boy? Yeah, he's broken, right? But he sometimes he left God out. He didn't depend on him. He didn't trust himself to God. So he started following his own way. And then he led Sarah down this bumpy road too. How's it going, ladies? This guy sitting next to you. Is it bumpy? Is it bumpy? There's only one way to smooth it out, and that's by following Christ and giving our lives to him and following him, believing and trusting in him. So we're not trusting in the world. We're not looking at our own agenda saying, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. I got to do this and that and all this. I do. Now we got to turn around and go, oh, I got to get humble. And what do you want me to do, Father? What do you have for me to do? And sometimes it's just being quiet. Submit. Submitting. Not easy, but that's what she did. It keeps harmony in the house. And we'll talk a little bit about that too. Do what is right. There's no disobedience. Don't give way to fear. You know, and society, especially back then, women, you know, if their husbands divorced them or something like that, or they were without any male protector, you know, it was a dangerous society. Even today too, I believe. You know, it's very, very dangerous. And for women, get exposed even more, I believe, than men to a lot of dangers in this society, a lot of exploitation, a lot of injustice, a lot of oppression, you know. So But they're saying, don't give in to that fear as you entrust in the Lord, as you walk with him and go be quiet before him, because he will make things right, for he is just, and all of his ways are perfect, and he does no wrong. He is our rock that we can depend on. And then here it says here, but I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, so we're not the head of it all. Though Adam and Eve thought and they wanted to be that way. And if you look around you, a lot of guys will, yeah, I'm it, buddy. And I go, really? I'm glad I'm not following you. And the head of the woman is man, okay? And the head of Christ is God. And now we know that, you know, we can go, there's a lot more to say about that, the triune God and, you know, all these different, you know, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Christ submitted unto the will of the Father. He was willing to follow that plan. And so even for the head, the head of the woman as man, you know, we are man, husbands, we are to be the spiritual leaders of the family. That's what it was all about. When God made man in the garden, you know, he was there first, and then Eve came later. And they're supposed to be a co-workers, you know, there's a co-partnership in serving God, you know, stewarding, you know, taking care of the animals and the garden and all that, and making it real beautiful and walking with God in the cool of the garden, the cool of the day. All that, there is harmony. There is harmony there, you know, harmony with, you know, the man of the family, be able to guide and direct, you know, their decisions being made. But more importantly for the husband, and this really comes down to the prayer, the blessing, the encouragement, all of that. And we'll get to that in a little bit too. So all this is coming together, you know, the call of men being considerate to their wives. Something that's kind of tough. And I know, guys, we're going to kind of walk quietly out today, kind of on tippy toes and maybe a little bent over. Because there's a reason. You know, we need to check ourselves out and see where we're at. Are we being considerate? I just see Joy. She's laughing at me now. I was hoping that she was still in the other room instead of that there, because, you know, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Don't forget that. Okay, be considerate. Showing kindly awareness or showing regard for another's feelings. So how's that going, guys? Yeah. See, we get mixed up in our own little worlds, and we're taking it on, and we're building our kingdom, and then we kick our wives to the side and say, I don't have any time for you, because I got to go do this. Just make my food. Be quiet. Don. That's all I have to say. Right? You gotta watch out, right? Because that's not harmony. That's oppression. That's bullying. That's exploiting. So now we're just being like the world. So now, guys, we got to change. We got to look into this a lot more and see where we're at. Are we spending time? Are we making our wives a priority in our lives and our relationship with them? And are we praying for them? Have you been praying for your wife? Have you been blessing her? Have you been modeling forgiveness? Because all that is what a leader is in a family. It's not, remember now, in God's kingdom, we're not, you know, when you're the leader, you're not the one going, you do that. No, it's the opposite. You are serving. So, husbands, are you serving your wives? Don has got big eyes on me right now. I tell you, I could feel just, I feel the heat right up here. Okay. Well, pumpkin pie is coming. So, yeah. But do you understand? This is not easy, but it's something for us to consider. Respect and honor, to have deep admiration for someone concerning their abilities, qualities, for who they are. Are we honoring our wives? God gave us these gifts in life, and I believe for a husband, their wife is their greatest gift besides salvation. Salvation number one, wife number two. And so we need to reorder our lives a little bit. We need to rethink things and stop going by the world's perspectives and what we've been learning from the world. And we need to start stepping in to man's shoes, pulling up our pants and being true men so we can support our wives in that unfading beauty that we're seeing that's there. And just ready to blossom and move and change and do wonderful things. Because what happens here, if you go back to that very beginning, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity or reverence of your lives. Beauty in action. When that beauty is in action, changes lives around us. The family unit and the husband is leading through the spiritually with all the prayer and all the blessings of the word of God and just all that encouragement, and that wife is just blossoming in that as you spend time out of respect and consideration. Their lives just blossom and it becomes an honor to God. And it becomes something God will use powerfully, and also becomes an honor for a husband. That's my wife. Look how beautiful she is. And it's not just because she's wearing those nice little earrings they gave her. All right? It's all this good stuff happening, the power of God within her, moving her and changing her and causing her to be a blessing to others. And the actions speak louder than words, right? The actions of people who are following Christ. Prayers will not be hit. You know, it says here, it says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as weaker partners, as their heirs, as heirs with you and of the gracious gift of life. So don't forget, we are co-heirs together. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. See, the prayers are where the blessings flow. So if you want to be fruitful, hubby, if you want to be fruitful, if you want to live an effective life, a powerful life, then you better not have your prayers hindered, because that's where the blessings flow, that communication with the Father. Those are where the blessings flow, from the Father alone. We can't do it on our own, because what we build crumbles. Gets tarnished, gets blown away by a Hurricane Ian. But what God builds is there forever. So that blessing, our relationship with our wife can really become a hindrance. So that's a caution for us. And also a motivation for us. And also, you know, all this is all part of the family. Because this world is evil. I don't know if you've watched that movie, The Lord of the Rings, but there is a scene, this guy named Gandalf. He had a big old Balrog. That was the enemy, okay? And he was trying to protect his friends, and he stood there between that and that big old monster, and he slammed down a sword and a staff, and he says, "You shall not pass." Men, if you want to be a true man, you and me, we need to have that same attitude to protect our wives from this society and all the stuff that is being thrown at them one way or another. And the only way we can do that is by being in a word and prayer and entrusting our lives and being willing to die for them. To stand in front of that enemy and say, "You shall not pass, for I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you, enemy, in the name of Jesus Christ." To protect and affirm the most beautiful gift God has ever given us. Remember this, because we have failed, man. Look at our society, the brokenness, the broken families and all that stuff. That's on us. The garden, Adam and Eve, that's on us. Adam could have stepped in front of Eve and just said, "Move back, Eve, I got this guy. You shall not pass. Get out of here, serpent. Get out of here, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ and all of your lies." But we failed. Adam failed, and we've been failing ever since. So I call upon you men and future husbands. You know, we need to get right with God. We walk in His paths, with His power, His word, and in prayer, and in humility. And we become servants in our families. And we become protectors of that unfading beauty of our wives, of our children, and even of ourselves, as God works in and through our lives. So stand up. Don't back away from the enemy anymore. Don't fall into his deceptions and all that stuff. We need to get serious with our relationships. They're the most important thing for us, because that's where the beauty is going to be displayed, in our families. We can start today. Right? Sometimes you might want to write a note to your wife. You might just want to pray for her, pray with her. You know, encourage her in the word. It's part of it. Let's pray. Lord Father, your word is powerful. Yeah, it's tough. It's hard. It's a challenge. But Lord, it is worth it, because as we live it, the blessings will flow and the beauty will be unleashed. And the world will see things that just so incredible that many more will be drawn into your kingdom, because they just see the beauty of who you are and the power of who you are and the truth of who you are. And they'll stand convicted, and they'll have to open their hearts to this grace salvation. So I just praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Give you the glory and the praise in it. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name, and all His people say, amen. Amen.